Well, that book that I've been talking about for some time is on order. I have been so blessed and so encouraged by this book, Homemaking, by James R. Miller. And he was a writer somewhere around 1920. And this is not only available on Google Books, as I first found it, but it is available on Amazon. And so we have a number on order and hope to have them very soon. And it is a very sweet, encouraging read that will warm your heart. Now, in this subject of marriage, of the home, family, wives, husbands, the last thing we want is a whole dose of legalism. You know, the whole rule of law and the list of do's and don'ts. The other thing that we don't want is idealism. And you can understand that when a young man and a young woman are joined today or gather on marriage, that they can get a little bit dreamy about it. You know, and they're looking forward to life together and all the planning that goes into their wedding day, that as they stand in front of the congregation and make their wedding vows, they have this very rosy spectacled and very positive, almost dreamy idealism. We're going to have the best marriage ever, and there could never be a problem. And of course, that is not realistic. Life is tough. Life is filled with many twists and turns, many bumps and disappointments and hardships, and many things come along that can very quickly sour that happy relationship between man and wife. Now, in his opening remarks in his book, Mr. Miller remarks that the author causes the reader to ponder the whole prospect of a wife taking a husband. And he warns against that idealism and that unrealistic dreaming. To be a wife is to answer the call to be joined to one man for the rest of her life. She has much to give up: her station in life with her family, her name, her reputation, and to find all of these things in the man that she will marry. And so leaving and cleaving is very different for a wife than it is for a husband. To leave your father and mother and to be joined to a husband therefore requires great caution. The last thing that you want to do is to marry the man that cannot fulfill the desire of your hearts. Now, I want to read to you just a few excerpts of how Mr. Miller puts this. And he says, "A woman may well pause before she gives her hand in marriage and inquire whether he is worthy, to whom she is asked to surrender so much, whether he can bring true happiness to her life, whether he can meet the cravings of her nature for love and for companionship, whether he is worthy to be lifted to the highest place in her heart and honored as a husband should be honored. She must ask these questions for her own sake, else the dream will may fade and the bridal wreath end, and she may learn when too late that he for whom she has left all and to whom she has given all is not worthy of that sacred trust and has no power to fill her life with happiness, to awake her life's core, heart's chords, to touch her soul's depths." Now, you can see how beautifully that is put, and that's why I want to use his words, because I could not write as good as that. And I want to set before every woman here tonight this very great step that a woman takes when she is given by her father, most likely, You know how when the father walks down the aisle with the bride and the minister will ask, who giveth this man to be, or this woman to be married to this man? And the father says, I do. And that's the point at which she is handed over from the protection, from the home life of her father, into the protection and into the care of her husband. And that is a great responsibility upon a young woman before she says yes to any man who requests her hand in marriage. On the other hand, Mr. Miller goes on, the question should be turned. Can she be a true wife to him who asks for her hand? Is she worthy of the love that is laid at her feet? Can she be a blessing to the life of him who would lift her to the throne of his heart? Will he find in her all the beauty, all the tender loveliness, all the rich qualities of nature, all the deep sympathy and companionship, all the strengthful, uplifting love, all the sources of joy and help which he seems now to see in her? And there the author of this very fine book on homemaking starts off, and it is essential that marriage between two people are worthy of each other's commitment. And that's the pivotal thing. Marry the wrong person, someone who cannot live up to your ideals, your vision, your values, your hopes, your moral standards, your view of life and of Christianity and of worship. So many things come into play at that point. And if the answer is no, I can't reach that standard, then it may not be the right union. We discovered already that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote Ephesians 5, he basically had one thing to say to husbands, and that is, love your wives. And I found that very remarkable. When you think of the many books, the many videos, CDs, documentaries, all kinds of media that are put out on the whole principles of marriage, and the Apostle Paul, he says one thing to husbands, love your wives. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, love your wife. Whether you think she is the one that's living up to the standard or not, you love your wife. Whether you are over the moon with her homemaking or not, love your wife. That's the command. Now, to wives, as you look at Ephesians 5, there really is just one thing that the apostle says to wives. Submit to your husbands. Look at the verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. A single instruction, submission. It's not a very palatable word these days. It is not something that the feminist movement would agree to. It's not something that the modern woman would usually agree to, because they think, and this is where their thinking go wrong, that it's going to be bondage, that it's going to be a form of reducing their personal value, of some form of being lesser than equal. Well, that's certainly not view of the New Testament. We are all one in Christ Jesus, male and female, bond and free. No matter who we are one in Christ Jesus. And God is not intending to make the wife any less by practicing this command of being in submission to your husband. Now, I realize that this is delicate. I realize that this is something that can be the difference between happy harmony and a home where there is bondage, and where, unfortunately, there can even be physical abuse or mental abuse. And the modern humanistic view is that if you follow the Bible's precepts on marriage, you just open yourself up to some form of mistreatment. I want to disabuse all women of that tonight. And I certainly want to take away any sense that that is the biblical teaching. The first thing I'd like to say here tonight is on the marvel of submission. The marvel of it. It is truly Christian and totally Christian. It is the most Christ-like thing that you will ever see in this world. Voluntary, loving submission between two people. Now, I have made, and I've mentioned this before, verse 21, the key verse of the whole subject. And it's mutual submission, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, if love is the key of power in a man's marriage, then submission is the key to a woman's power in marriage. And I hope you get that clearly. Paul the Apostle told men one thing, love your wives. And he says to wives, one thing, submit to your own husbands. And in there is the power, both for men, if you want to be a blessing, if you want to make your home the happiest, sweetest, blessed home, love your wife. And women, if you want to be a vessel of God, an instrument of His power, and a testimony of His grace, one thing, submit to your own husbands. Now, what are the marvels of this submission? Two things. Firstly, you'll notice in verse 21 that it's done in the fear of God. It's done in the fear of God. And then in verse 24, it is this marvel that you are reflecting the church that is to be in submission to Christ. That's a great marvel. The both of them are marvels. Firstly, to have the fear of God. Now, without the fear of God, it would be very difficult to motivate and bring yourself to obey the Lord in this matter. These indeed are miracles of grace. The ruling principle in a Christian's life, man and woman, is the fear of God. And I want God's blessing. I'm desperate for His smile upon my life. And I don't want to do anything, I don't want to be anything that is going to grieve or show that I do not fear and walk with God. Who was it that said, walk into any home and ask, is the fear of God in this place? That's a Christian home. A Christian home is the place where the fear of God is present. Where husband, wife, children, visitors recognize that the name of the Lord is honored in this place, reverenced. It's not a slavish fear, but it is an honor to live in the presence of God. Now, this is the controlling factor in the heart of a Christian woman. She lives in the fear of God. She has surrendered her life at the foot of the cross. That's a Christian woman now. She is washed in the blood of Jesus. She has received the Holy Spirit in her heart. She is therefore sensitive. She has her ear to the ground as to what is right and wrong and good and truthful and glorifying to God. And in all of that, she understands that in this role of marriage, she is called to reflect the church, the bride of Christ. And the church is to be in submission to God. And so a born-again, spirit-filled woman will wish to honor the Lord more and more. And the longer she lives in marriage, she wants that marriage to more and more reflect the beauty, the wonder, the marvel of the church of Christ before an ungodly world. And so this submission is not carnal. It is a marvel, a marvel. The world cannot see nor appreciate it. And she is now a model of submission to her Lord and glorifies Him in her new attitude. And would you underscore attitude? Because tonight you're going to hear much more about attitude than you're going to hear about principles. or rules or regulations. You're going to hear about your approach, your demeanor, glorifying God as a woman with all the femininity and all the art and all the gentleness of womanhood in your life, and not merely just doing certain things and that will make it work. Now, we talk about the opposite sex. A woman's role, obviously, is opposite to the man. She is the mirror image. He is the leader and burden bearer, and the submissive wife rests in his love, in his leadership, and in his honor. All of those things come into it. Because of his love, she rejoices. Because of her wise, biblical, godly leadership, she rejoices. And because of his labor, he is the one that carries the heavy end of life. He is the one that holds her up and is a burden bearer. And as some women like to say, she could watch him work all day. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I was noticing that once. I was observing something. And to see a man work hard, it seems to please a woman. My husband is a hard worker. Whereas, of course, if he's on the couch eating popcorn, watching some TV show, and not pulling his weight, well, that's not going to please anybody. And so she finds him worthy of her trust, her loyalty, her confiding in a joyful thing. It's a pleasure. It's a delight. It is not a burden. Now, in reality, only grace can work that in your marriage, in your heart, in your home. It takes God's grace. And it's really the fruit of the indwelling and the operation of the Spirit of God within each heart. Love, joy, peace, humility, all those things that the Spirit of God works within the lives of his people. And so this humility becomes one of the adorning factors of a woman. The opposite becomes somewhat obnoxious. But that ready, wise, well-controlled humility is the mark of a Christian lady. Now, I've got some Bible verses for that. If you want to turn to Titus 3, verse 3, the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3. And for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. That certainly is not the recipe for a happy home. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there's a whole new life. And you know, it's not principles, it's a new person that we need. You need to be a renewed and an empowered woman to live up to God's will in your marriage. 1 Timothy 3:11 is another passage. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And 1 Timothy 2, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence, which with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now, that becomes a marvel in any home. That becomes a great demonstration of grace. And a godly and spiritual woman will change the very atmosphere in the home. We talk about a home needing a woman's touch. And that's usually because it needs a vacuum and a clean, or a bit of decorating. But there's much more to a Christian woman's touch. Her very presence, her godly living, her singing, her praying, her conversation, her uplifting in the things of God will be a ministry in that home that will make that home truly blessed. And a godly woman will also turn a home into a happy and a holy place. Her very presence will fill it with the charm of grace, and there will be that savor of Christ. Now, how do you analyze that? How do you describe that? Well, in my capacity as a pastor, I have gone into many homes, and you can tell when a home is where a godly woman leaves her mark. And it's not just in the tidiness, and it's not just in the paintwork. It's in the very, I just come out of the home blessed. I leave encouraged. It's a place where the Lord is honored and where the Lord is exalted. So it's a marvel in the home, and then it also becomes a marvel in the church. To glorify God in your worship as a woman is pleasing unto God. Think of the praying of Hannah when she went into the temple and she asked for a child. Or a woman that comes to pray for her husband and for her family. And to be offering your godly attitude in a feminine and ladylike manner. A woman ought to never look more ladylike than in her worship, in her attitude, her humility, her readiness to serve, in so many mannerisms that she will demonstrate that she has the very role of a Christian lady. Now multiply that in the church, and it becomes a powerful tribute to God's love and grace. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about gentleness. That's a womanly characteristic. We men are sometimes anything but gentle. And there is a ministry of gentleness that women can have. In modesty of dress and speech, which becometh godliness. That you come alongside your husband here in church and to worship the Lord. And you together glorify God. And that is a testimony to your own marriage. And it is a testimony to God's blessing upon you. And so there is this womanly, feminine attitude. It's like our bodies. It's how God created us. And we don't try to change our bodies. Christians certainly wouldn't. Therefore, a lady does not wish to try and change her perspective and attitude, demeanor, from anything that honors the Lord as a woman. And so it's a marvel of grace. And that's what God wants you to be. A marvel of grace to your husband in the home, in the Lord's church, to every Christian. And so submission is integral to a Christian marriage and a Christian home. And I'm asking, is that you? Are you striving for that? Are you aiming to be that woman that you might be such a blessing? Now that's the marvel of submission. I'd like to move now to the means of submission. How do you do it? In real practical terms. Well, that's my first heading now, practical. And of course we have in the Bible the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, and that is a whole subject and a whole study on its own. And very often we draw from that on Mother's Day and any other occasion when we focus upon the practical labors and sacrifices of the woman. But in Proverbs it says, the woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And that is true. This is the heart of Christianity. The Lord Jesus himself came into this world to be a servant. And he calls us to a life of service. And every believer in the Lord Jesus is called to be a disciple of Christ, following in this life of self-denial. And of course, she wants to firstly serve the Lord. The woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. That's why she's living. That's her desire as a woman, to serve the Lord. And so her prime motivation in life is that she does all unto and to the glory of the Lord. And she will want to serve her husband in that manner, in a way that glorifies the Lord. In Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A crown to her husband. He makes him shine. She makes him honorable. And she is the queen in his life. Her pride and joy is in honoring and promoting him. He is her head. And she accepts this from the very principle of creation. Man was made first, and woman was made for the man. She was made out of his rib, specially to be that companion that he would not be alone. And you will see the virtuous woman doing all of this in very practical ways. She riseth early, she provides food, she sows, she works with material, she grows in her garden or farm, she sells the produce. She is doing all that she can to be a helper and a complement to her husband. And of course, Proverbs talks about she will serve the children. To kids, mom is not a noun. Mom is not a name. It's an action word. When a child cries, mom, mom has to go into action. There's a need. I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm hurting. And mom is that woman of action in the home. In every language of the world, mother means help me. That's what it means, help me. And that is the delight, the joy, and indeed the very purpose of living for a Christian woman. Now I could go on, I have a number of proverbs here, I'll just read you a couple of them. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. And the attitude that children are a nuisance, that's not her language. That's not her attitude. No, they are her responsibility and blessing to minister unto them. And then there is one where it talks about she dresses herself. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. And ladies, that simply means that tardiness does not equal godliness. Just because you wear old rags doesn't mean that you're more holy. Well, you might be the old holy, but not spiritual holy. You might have holy clothes, but you will not necessarily have a holy heart. And so this virtuous woman recognizes that. So in practical terms, there's the means of being that blessing. And then also in spiritual terms. Now, did you notice back in Ephesians 5, I sure hope you've noticed, because I hope to emphasize that when we're dealing with the men, that the Apostle Paul starts this whole treatise on the whole role of marriage, husbands, wives. He starts with being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. So this is the Christian woman. The woman that has been to the cross, has accepted Christ as her Savior, and she is now laboring as a wife and mother by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to be saved to enjoy that. You need to personally know the Lord to enjoy that. And so, ladies, when it's wearisome and trying, and times when you think it's not working out very well, you need to lean on the Lord. You need to depend on the help of the Holy Spirit to pour his grace into your life, that he will make you the woman that you need to be, give you the spiritual power that you need to have. And of course, you need the Lord in your life. A lady was printing on a blackboard a text for her little girl, and the text was, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And just as she had finished it, the child entered the room and began to spell out the words, and then she exclaimed, "Oh, Mama, you left Jesus out." And sure enough, as she checked over the wording, she had forgotten to put in the name of the Lord. It would be easy to get into a routine of married life, and you go through the routine of the day, you set that alarm clock in the morning, you put yourself out to provide and work and labor, and you've got to divide yourself up in so many ways and things for the day, and it's very demanding. It would be easy to go through that whole day without leaning on the Lord. And of course, that's the secret, because it is, after all, the Lord you're seeking to please in all your attitudes. Our homes should be little churches. That's a common Puritan statement, where what we did here today in church should be replicated and repeated in a family setting. The Bible, praise, prayer, where you are living in that home in the very spiritual attitude as a Christian home. Now, I come now to the mercy of submission. And again, I'm trying to counter the modern view of submission in marriage. The modern view, of course, is that this is bondage and it's hardship and it's ridiculous and it shouldn't even be entertained at all. But I want you to think about this. The woman who is given grace to submit to her husband and to glorify the Lord in that manner, she enjoys so much. She enjoys protection. And I've already described the bride walking down the aisle with her father, and he hands her over and says, "I give this woman to be married to this man." And then she stands right beside her new husband. He takes her hand, and the wedding vows are said, to love, honor, cherish, obey, and all that is the commit to one another in marriage, and then they set up their new home. Now, in that home, she now has a new protector. It's not her father, it is her own husband. Now, notice in Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, I pointed out that that word Savior has a small S at the beginning. It's not Jesus. That Savior is not the Lord Jesus. That word Savior is referring to the husband. And that means he's the protector. He's the guardian. He is the one that cares for the safety and the needs of his new wife. And now in marriage, it is the husband's responsibility to care, to cherish, and to see to the welfare of his wife. And the godly woman will welcome that. She will take delight in the leadership and the safety that she finds in her husband. She has nothing to prove. She's not out to compete. In this marriage now is not a competition. I can do it just as well as you can. I don't need you. I don't need your help. No, there is a mutual dependence and a desire to support one another. And so it brings protection. And of course, that attitude brings peace and harmony. And that's sweet. That's wonderful. To accept the headship of her husband, a new wife will want to support his leadership. She'll want to be there for him. She'll want to do all that she can that will please and promote his good name. And you've heard the adage, behind every good man is a good woman. That's true. And that's a delight to have that reputation. And she will walk with him hand in hand as they go through life, enjoying companionship and harmony And for a man to please his wife is pleasing to the Lord, and vice versa, for the woman to please her husband is pleasing to the Lord. And so there's harmony, and there's peace, and there's joy in that marriage. And that brings me back to the key verse, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Oh, what a word of counsel that is to us all. And what strength that brings. Another benefit, another blessing, is that our prayers will be answered. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Where there is understanding of each other's role, where there is true leadership, true submission, where there is that harmony and peace, when you get down to calling on the Lord in prayer, he's going to hear your cry. He's going to honor your obedience and submission to him. And through a good wife, a man will find strength to live with purpose, even to a higher level of service. Think on that. Your husband will be a better man because of your submission, because of your support role. He will be strengthened, and well, we can't guarantee that he's always going to get the job promotion. He might come home someday and say, I lost my job today. But being there to support him might mean that next morning he will start looking for that next job. He will find consolation, strength, and support right in the midst of that. Now, I close tonight with Mr. Miller's section on the influence of a wife. And here is the woman's power that I spoke of earlier. Again, let me say that no wife can overestimate the influence she wields over her husband, or the measure in which his character, his career, and his very destiny are led in her hands for shaping. The sway which she holds over him is the savvy of love, but it is mighty and resistless. If she retains her power, if she holds her place as queen of his life, she can do with him as she will. Unconsciously to herself, without any thought of her responsibility, she will exert over him an influence which will go far toward making or marring of his future. If she has no lofty conception of life herself, if she is vain and frivolous, she will only chill his ardor, weaken his resolution, and draw him aside from any earnest endeavor. But if she has in her soul noble, womanly qualities, if she has true thoughts of life, if she has purpose, strength of character, and fidelity to principle, she will be to him an unfailing inspiration toward all that is noble, manly, and Christ-like. Woman, this is your hour. This is why you are where you are tonight as a wife. And you have an opportunity under God to make your influence, make your mark, make your testimony to shine as a Christian woman. And of course, it's the Christian woman who walks with God, is full of the Spirit, and lives to please the Lord in all that will do her husband good. Now, I want tonight to give Solomon the last word. He said in Proverbs, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's all mercy. It is the power of the gospel in a Christian woman's heart. And what a marvel. A Christian woman is a marvel in the earth. And men, if you are married to a Christian woman, we are blessed, and blessed indeed. May the Lord bless every marriage, every home here tonight.